Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of, well, not just mind power, but money power. Now, how is that possible? We're going to be discussing today a topic that's really a hot one, and it's been a hot one for quite a while, but it's getting even hotter. What is that topic? Healthcare. My guest today, Catherine Woodfield, is a woman that is going to share with us some tips about how you can save money. This is not political. This is basic stuff about how you, as an individual, whether you have a family, whether you are an older individual, younger, single, a person, it doesn't make any difference. Healthcare is something that's extremely important to each and every one of us. But how much do we buy? I know of someone that has a family of four, that is paying over $1,000 a month. If this person didn't have a good job, a good income, that's over $12,000 a year, and this is a young family, that's pretty hard. Catherine Woodfield, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you so much for having me on.
Catherine, when I was going through your book, Don't Buy That Health Insurance, and by the way, for my audience's information, I met you in New York. And this was a while back, and you were in the process of putting your material together, getting your book together so that it would be out there for the public. And I said, yep, get in touch with me, because I'm very interested. And you did. And I was quite impressed with what you have put into this book. It's not that big a book, but it's got a lot of meat of information inside of it. Becoming an educated healthcare consumer is not easy today. Tell us your story and what made you decide that you were going to work as an advocate for people so that they would not have to feel like their life is in a cinch financially and that they have to just be paralyzed by this. It's very frightening for a lot of people not to have health insurance.
Donna, you're absolutely right. So a quick background on me. I worked in pharma for about major pharmaceutical companies for about 20 years. I spent most of my career on the oncology side, working with investigators on phase one, phase two research. I spent a lot of time helping patients out in the field who were having consumer claim information, working from the side of the pharmaceutical company to help them settle their claims. So I thought I really understood how health insurance works until my husband got sick. He ultimately passed away, leaving me with an 18-month-old, a 7-year-old, and an 11-year-old at the time. And if that wasn't hard enough, I couldn't work anymore because my job was in Manhattan. At that point, I was a vice president of an advertising agency, and I couldn't be gone from the house 15 hours a day. Primary breadwinner had passed away, and so we now have no one working. And it turns out the local hospital sent me about $200,000 worth of love notes for bills that weren't covered by our health insurance. So here right. I was, no longer working, fighting to hold on to my house, dealing with mourning the loss of my husband and my children's mourning. And I thought, this is not what insurance was ever supposed to do to people. Insurance is supposed to be there as the safety net when everything else in your life goes wrong. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to try and find something positive out of this experience, and I became an insurance broker. And I went out there and on a mission to share with people, you know, this is how insurance should work, and this is, you know, you're not necessarily shopping, understanding what you're shopping for. You're shopping for $5 copays or $5 prescription refills. That's not what insurance is there for. Insurance is the safety net against disaster, and a $5 copay isn't a disaster. So... But what I realized as I was talking to people was we have been conditioned for an entire generation to make these choices and to value $5 copays. And we didn't understand as a generation, we've never really paid, we've never had any skin in the game when it comes to the majority of our health care choices and decisions. It's all sort of been done on our behalf. And so how can I explain to people what you're supposed to be shopping for mm-hmm. when you don't even understand what it is you're buying? So I had to back up, and I would teach people, and what I realized I was giving people, it's not so much information that's new, it's just packaged differently. And when I would sort of take the little bit of cover off of the information, people would be like, oh, that makes so much sense. What am I doing? And so I was hoping with the book that I would be able to reach out to more people and give more people insight into how to shop for insurance, how to save money, how insurance works, how doctors work, how the billing systems work, and how we can be use our insurance to protect us and not be caught as victims of the system.
Well, you make some excellent points here, and it's very valid. And I want to share for just a moment, there was a member of my family that, in fact, for 2 years running, has had very critical care, been in emergency room situation, and the family had major medical. They had with this individual, and this individual is a senior citizen, they had Medicare, which they were very grateful for, but they also had a secondary health policy. Now, what this family's been notified of just recently is that because of changes with the particular Obama health care thing that is just a fiasco of fiascos, the secondary insurance company that was covering them in that positioning for major medical only for the entire state that this person lives in, they are canceling all of their policies. Now, this is something that when the family became aware of it was just stunning. So they've been notified of this, and this is going to be happening to a lot of people. They're getting notification that their insurance policies, their secondary insurance policies, are being canceled. We are in a very, very interesting situation. So what I'd like to do, because I know we have a lot of young families, and like I mentioned, the example of the one that I just was talking to just a few days ago, and she said, I'm paying out well over $1,000 a month. And I went, oh, my goodness, you've got to know about this book. There's no reason for you to pay that much. But it's, like you said, a mentality. It is amazing. Now, you've had even higher stats. You said the MMI evaluation for a family of four is almost $20,000 a year. Now, when you look at that for health insurance, that would be half of someone's salary, perhaps, for a year. I mean, that's a lot of money. And people think
when
the employers are paying
it.
Yeah, and how do you do it? So then people are standing and picketing and saying, well, we deserve health care. They don't understand that somewhere along the line, somebody's going to have to pay for this stuff. And the insurance companies, I know my husband, who's had a business of his own, he said, these group policies are really a rip. He said, the businesses have to pay out on this. So let's get some clarity. Let's start off with younger families, and then let's look at the middle-aged type of people, and then let's look at the older people, too, because we've got different scenarios for each one, and people become very, very frightened.
So you bring up so many very different points. It's hard to know where to start, but let's start with a younger family. So, and actually, I'll back into the health care reform law. A lot of people don't even know the full name of that law. They just call it Obamacare. And Obamacare is a very negative moniker that's been assigned to this legislation. And don't get me wrong, there are many areas where this legislation falls short of what it was hoping to be. But one of the things that I've done is I've researched how America stacks up. We spend, I don't know if you're familiar with these statistics, but we spend the most per person on medical care of any patient in the world.
True.
And yet,
yes,
we rank last in almost every parameter that the World Health Organization, when they compare nations, civilized nations and uncivilized nations. In the civilized nations, you know, looking at countries like Australia and Great Britain and Germany and Canada and Switzerland, we come in dead last on mm-hmm. every single parameter. So we spend a lot of money, and we have the number one advances in medical care. Like, out of the last 48 major advances in medical care, 40 of them came out of the U.S. So we spend a lot of money. We have this great science, but we are at the single most inefficient at delivering all of this great science to the end user at a reasonable cost.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to corporatedirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for corporatedirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. My apologies. Something has happened with our connection to Catherine, and we'll get her back as quickly as we can. It just seemed like something blew out her phone system there. We will continue to try to reach her. So while we are waiting to get Catherine Woodfield back on the line, I will just pass along some information quickly here. Tomorrow we are going to have a guest, Hakima. Now we're going to be talking about Avicenna's medicine. This, when I had the material across my desk, I thought, this is intriguing. What are we going to be finding in this publication? Well, it's about medical information discovered over 1,000 years ago that is still being used today. So we're going to be talking with Hakima tomorrow. And then on Friday, we'll be talking with Marvin Brown, how to meet and talk to anyone, any place, anytime, anywhere. So we have a great lineup here. And again, I'm sorry, but we don't know what happened to Catherine's line. We're trying to reach her. We've got more than one phone number, and something just went wacky. Do you think that a dirty shirt could predict personality traits? I don't know. You think you've heard just about everything. But there were people that were involved in a test. That's right. Now, to me, I just don't get it. I really don't. But I have to share this with you because I think it's so funny. There were 30 men and 30 women. And each of them were given white cotton T-shirts for 3 consecutive nights. Now, during that time, they didn't use any fragrances, any deodorants or soaps. They did not smoke. They did not drink any alcoholic beverages or eat any foods that are known for odors, for example, like garlic. Then, this is what was done. I can't imagine that they got people to volunteer for this, but they did. Hundreds of people tried to sniff out different personality traits. Okay, I'm not lying about this. This is true. Based on scent alone, the people that participated in this were able to judge with some amazing degree of accuracy how outgoing, neurotic, and dominant people were. Now, figure that one out. I don't know what they did, but they found it out. Now, they said studies have found that body odor can reveal clues about age, sex and female fertility. And this research suggests we might add personality to the list. Catherine, we're back.
Hi, so sorry.
Well, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden you were gone and you had just started talking about some information that was very, very important, especially with the younger generation. So let's begin with that because I know we had that interruption.
Okay. So what I was basically saying is, you know, a lot of people don't know the name of the Health Care Reform Act, but it's called the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And a lot of the big challenges, this law definitely has some room for development, but a lot of this sets a lot of foundations, baselines, basic starting points that every insurance plan has to have these minimum required parts. So when you say that plans are being dropped, it's sort of like the FDIC has said, this is a minimum requirement that every insurance plan has to offer. And what this law has done is dictate some minimums. Plans that did not meet the basic minimum requirements as dictated by this law have been discontinued. So those are the plans that are being stopped, and there is a plan that will be replaced, that will be offered to replace it, that has the basic minimum requirements that are indicated in this law. So for a younger family, one of the major changes that's a basic minimum requirement is that all preventative care, now this has actually been in place for a couple of years, but a lot of people didn't know all preventative care is free. So it doesn't matter how big your copay is or isn't. If you have kids, all your well baby visits are free. There's no copay, there's no deductible. And that's a mandatory minimum of every health insurance plan now. So all your inoculations are free, no copay, no deductible. So the law has really set for those younger families that all their preventative care, which having three kids, I will tell you, the majority of the time you're going is for this inoculation or that inoculation and so forth. So that takes up a lot of your visits, and there's no copay and there's no cost. So what the law has really done for young families is set some basic minimums that your insurance has to pay for at 100%. So with that understanding that the younger family doesn't have to pay for anything, no copay at all for any of their preventative care, then the next thing that the family has to worry about is how are they shopping for their insurance? Are you looking at this as a way to balance all your predictable medical costs, or are you looking at this as a safety net in the event of a broken bone or a car accident or something? And if you're trying to balance off predictable costs, you really have to realize that insurance companies are for-profit, publicly traded companies, and they're not giving money away. So they're not going to sell a premium lower than their – if you think they're going to pay out $500, but you're only going to pay $400, insurance companies aren't set up to lose money. They don't set themselves up that way. So,
correct.
So you have to kind of be realistic about what your expectations are from an insurance company. And that's a huge paradigm shift, and yet it's very simple. They're not going to lose money on you. So if this year you spend $1,000 on premium and you cost them $1,200, you can better believe that they want the $200 back. They think you're going to spend the extra $200 next year, and so your premium's going to be bumped up from $1,000 to $1,400. So that's where the math comes from, and it makes sense. So your job then becomes, how do I keep the insurance company from paying out? Just the same logic you use with your car, the same logic you use with your homeowner's insurance. Does the insurance company, if you expect them to pay for everything, they're going to ask for that money back and increase premiums next year. So you need to start thinking that insurance is insurance. It all behaves exactly the same way, and not every single maneuver has to go through your health insurance company.
Now let's go with, because you're right, there is a mentality, and it is, gee whiz, I shouldn't have to pay for anything, and aren't we fortunate? Well, a lot of businesses are being really hit hard. This was one of the biggest things for many businesses that had to be a part of their budget, and it still is today. So There are some real shifts and challenges there because, obviously, a company has to make profit so that they can pay for these quote-unquote group premiums. And you bring out a point where if employees pay a part of the premium, there are different packages that can be offered. So it's not a one-size-fits-all, because one person may not need anything but just major medical. There may be someone else that needs to have insurance for all of their six kids or whatever. So how do we work with this? And let's look at not just the younger people, but also the middle age. And then the older generation is an entirely different sector because you're dealing with Medicare. So
let's touch on that. Let's touch on that separately.
Yes.
So you ask a really great question, and what you're basically saying is that different people have different buying power, and different people have different needs. And it's, you know, there's no such thing as a one size fits all. And for major corporations, so if you work for a major United States corporation, you have a benefits plan. And if you work for, pretty much any company that has 200 employees or more, for the most part, has a benefits plan in place. So what you're talking about, if you look at the studies and the research that's done out there, the groups that don't have access to health insurance through their employer right now is, for the most part, transient and very low-wage type industries. So we're talking retailing, we're talking restaurants, hotels, entertainment. Generally, these are hourly wages. People might make 9, 10, manufacturing, low-wage manufacturing, 9, 10, 11, $12 an hour. So for those people, a benefits plan that's designed for the senior executives who run that corporation is outside of their buying power, and their entire employment package isn't designed around a health insurance. It's just never been designed around health insurance. So for those people, the fact that we've actually pushed off the employer mandate until for one additional year to 2015, these are the people that are ideally situated to go into the health insurance exchanges, because they're only being asked to chip in, and it's a sliding scale depending on how many people are in your house, no more than 9% of your household income towards premium. And it may even be, depending on how things are interpreted, 9% of both your income and your out-of-pocket expenses. So given that right now we know from the Department of Labor that the average American spends 11.4% of their household income on medical care, 9% is a reasonable goal. So let's say you make $10 an hour. In many states, you will now be able to opt into the expanded Medicaid plan. And so what you're going to do is not even look to your employer anymore to try and help you with access to health care. You're going to actually look to the expanded Medicaid plan, and you're going to be able to buy into these plans. And they generally cost $30 to $40 a month. Very reasonable premiums. And if you make $11 or $12 or $13 an hour, depending on how many people are in your household, you'll be asked to contribute no more than 9%, which is like a dollar an hour towards your health care. So it might be $40 a week or $160 a month as a maximum contribution. So what's happening this year, by pushing off the employer mandate, people who are the most difficult to insure, in fact, insurance companies won't even offer plans to, I've worked with temp agencies where they work in manufacturing. They're like, this is a transient workforce. They're completely unpredictable. We don't know who's going to be here from one month to another. We're not even willing to offer you a health insurance plan. It doesn't matter how much you want to pay. I'm not going to insure you. I choose not to insure you.
Right, and if you've had a pre-existing condition, they won't insure you. They won't touch you.
Well, that's illegal as of January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So under health care reform, they can no longer exclude people for pre-existing conditions. Now, I live in New Jersey. New Jersey's always been a must-issue state, and New York has been must-issue. When New York came out with their new rates, they're lower than before, because we've always been a must-issue, which means if you're willing to pay the premium, they must issue you health insurance. So what happens when we push, so all the sick people in New York and New Jersey have already got health insurance because they're using it and they're paying for it. But what we're doing is pushing the healthy people into the system now, which is effectively, when New York put out its rates 10 days ago, they were lower than the current rate, because we're now pushing healthy people into the system. So, you know, I think for corporations, there are a lot of hurdles. I am not arguing with that. This is not the final answer to our healthcare problem. But for you and me, and that's really my perspective, I look at this from you and me. So for the $11 an hour worker, this is going to help them out a great deal. This is going to give them access to expanded Medicaid. That's going to be huge for them. And for you and me to have all of our checkups and our annual OB and our annual mammogram for free, no cost, that's going to get us to the mammogram. That's going to be like, oh, it doesn't even cost me anything. Okay, there's really no reason I shouldn't go and try this preventative care. So for you and me, there's a lot of patient protection. And for the people who have insurance plans, there are established minimums. Like, your health insurance plan must meet these minimum criteria. And if the plans have been canceled, it's because they did not meet the government's minimum criteria. And so they had to be taken off the market because they were no longer compliant with federal law. And the plans that are being put on the market to replace them have to build in the minimums as are dictated at this point. So again, for you and me, this is all good stuff. For corporations, you know, if your husband is trying to run a business, this could be a different challenge. But I generally, you know, look at this from the consumer perspective. And from the consumer perspective, the biggest challenge is that we don't have a PR company. So we don't have somebody out there saying, hey, you know what, since 2010, all your checkups have been free. If you've been paying copays, go back and get them. The insurance company owes you for that. You have to give your money back. You weren't supposed to pay for that.
You bring out so many points. You go into the history of insurance, which we're not going to have time to go through, but your book, Don't Buy That Health Insurance, really covers a great deal of detail. One of the things that you bring out is that the insurance industry and the health industry, the costs are all over the board. And I know with a member of my family, when they were in the hospital 2 years ago and even last year when they were in the hospital, when bills started coming in to the family, we would sit down and go, who's this? Who's that? Why is this there? What's going on here? And I can remember going in with a family member and saying, when I reached the administrative office, saying, we just don't understand, because all of these physicians are working at a particular facility. And it's quite a large organization. And they're here. Why is it we're getting all of these different bills from Dr. A, from Dr. B, from Dr. Z, and you're all in the same building? Your offices are right next door to each other. You handled the various conditions inside the operating room. And when we looked at a fee of $1,000 for one doctor, now this was in an emergency room setup, but $1,000 for one doctor that spent maybe 10 minutes, and then there was a listing of all of these other doctors, and they all had various charge levels. And I can remember sitting with this member of family and just saying, what's going on here? The right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. Records are not easily accessible. It's just, it was a quagmire. And I can just empathize with so many people, some of them who are listening right now, who have gone through this kind of stuff. It is a nightmare. Let's talk about the pricing and the cost of things a little bit.
So one of the things I would recommend to anybody who's listening is to go to the library and pull a February issue of Time magazine called Bitter Pill. That is an excellent article. It talks about how hospitals do their billing. And it's about 50 pages long, and I don't have time to go into all of how that works, but it is a bitter pill. It's in February Time magazine. You should definitely pick it up because it will explain a lot of the hospital billing system. But essentially what's happening is you're putting forth an argument for a centralized healthcare system. We are completely decentralized. Every doctor is his own personal corporation, right? He has his own office. He has his own staff. So he goes in and he does his billing, and he's like a consultant on the case, and then he submits the bill to the insurance company. And there's no centralized organizations in it. So what you're basically saying is we need a centralized system, which would be a national health system. And the problem is that as soon as you hear those words, your initial gut is, no, I don't want national health. I just want the systems to all work together. So that's how we do things. We centralize it when we work together, and a centralized billing system would centralize, this is the bill for, this is how much we pay for this particular procedure, this is how much you're allowed to bill, this is, and that is done under Medicare. And again, if you read this Bitter Pill article, you will read that as soon as you have Medicare, it's your best chance at having a bill that you're going to be able to at least understand and argue, because it's absolutely dictated. You can charge this. You will be charged this. You can charge more if you want, but you're only going to get paid this much. So until we have, which Medicare is, it's a centralized billing system. It's a centralized system that all the doctors contract into. But right now, when you and I go and we're in our 30s and 40s and 50s and we don't have Medicare to protect us, we have no centralized system. And I touch on this in the book. We have a very inefficient, decentralized, multi-layer, multiple billing. And honestly, the billing manager at the hospital probably was like, well, I can explain what the codes are. And I can explain, but after that, he's like, I don't know what the doctor did. You have to look at the chart. And under the healthcare reform law, what you're saying, the quagmire of inaccessibility to charts, under the law, again, a patient protection, is that all the charts are being made electronic. So you will be able to access your records. So, again, there are protections in there that are working towards, building towards helping you resolve some of these questions. But you're right, it's a challenge. So another giant improvement that's been made as a result of this law is that you can hire somebody. So let's say you are a person in New Jersey and your mom is in California and your mom falls and breaks her hip and you can't get to California until Friday. Your mom's in the hospital and she's calling you and she's frightened and she doesn't know exactly what to do. You can actually hire a third party called a patient advocate. And if you Google patient advocates in your area, you will find certified professionals who you can sign a HIPAA release, who can go into your mom's hospital room and say, listen, you know, Donna reached out to me. She's going to be here Friday. But until then, I'm here to advocate for you. So let's pull your chart and let's go through this together and let's see if we can figure out what's happening. And I can run stuff back and forth past Donna, and I'm trained to do this, and I'm going to catch up on what's happening. And so you can actually now, it's not covered by insurance, but you have the right to hire somebody. And the insurance company has to talk to that person. They can't freeze that person out and say, you're not the patient, I'm not talking to you. Because a lot of times the patient's unconscious. So now you're in New Jersey, you still can't get to and she's in surgery, she's unconscious. You can actually hire someone, have them go in, pull your records and say, okay, you work for me, you got to tell me what's going on. Where's my mom? What's happening? You now have the right under the law, and the insurance company has to talk to that person if you give that person permission to talk on your behalf.
You have so much information in your book, and I know we're not going to have the time to discuss so much of it. One of the comments you make is you say you're better off with a policy that's like major medical, period. Just look at that. Don't try to get everything, like with your, have everything paid for, because a lot of doctors, and I found this to be a fact, this started, at least for me, it started a good 10 years ago. I had an OBGYN, and she was saying, I'm having real big problems with insurance companies and all kinds of things. But she said, I will see a patient, and she said, well, if you pay cash, we don't have to worry about paperwork or anything else. And the fee for the time was so much less than what she would have billed, because a lot of her patients have been with her for years, and so she's sending into insurance companies, and she said they'll come back and they'll say, nope, we're only going to pay so much. So she said, this is my arrangement. If you pay me cash, this is what we'll do. If you just wanted a regular checkup, this type of thing, anywhere from $80 to $150. You pay her cash. It was super for them because they didn't have to spend hours, sometimes months, getting stuff cleared. So it's your detail in the book is just so very, very clear. You talk about how Congress is being steamrolled by corporate special interest groups and that we need to really pay attention because and you list five, WellPoint, United, Humana, United Health, and Cigna, that their profit margins are just astronomical. And yet they're screaming the loudest. they had a 59% increase in profit. You go into this and you go into so many other things, but I like your clarity. You're not saying the statements that you have in the book. You're not saying what you're saying because you're trying to bash anybody. You're trying to educate so that this is something where we as consumers can have a level of understanding. Your website is healthcare-insurance-education.com, and I strongly encourage any of you listening to check out our website, because this is something we all need to pay attention to. I'm reviewing stuff right now because, and my family is reviewing material right now. It's mandatory. healthcare-insurance-education.com. Take the time, read the information, and then know you have choice. It's very important. And Catherine Woodfield, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today. Even though we had that little burp, we've gotten through it. You shared a lot with us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Donna. And I really, you know, it's none of our fault that we don't understand it. For a generation, we've been told somebody else will handle this for us. Now we have to take responsibility for it. And it's going to take a while for us all to wrap our heads around this, but it can be done. And that's really, you nailed the book directly. The intent of the book is to give you the tools to understand your choices.
Absolutely. Donna Sebo here. Catherine Woodfield has been my guest. Don't buy that health insurance. That's the title of her book. Check out healthcare-insurance-education.com. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Paranormal experience, such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Back pain is something that so many millions of people experience. It is miserable. And there are devices that have been worked with through the years. I remember one time, a young woman who was a flight attendant, she was a client of mine, she had constant back pain. She had gone in for a surgery that was supposed to do something, and she was in chronic back pain. It never, ever went away. And at that time, she had an electronic device that was sending impulses into the nerve system, and she wore it. It was very uncomfortable, really, and she was small, so
it was something that was really cumbersome for her. But it would give her some relief, and then after a while, it wouldn't do anything at all. However, what they are finding is that when it comes to back pain, they found when people started walking, especially if they had chronic low back pain, using physical therapy along with walking, and if you're in an area where the weather is not always the best, which here in the Pacific Northwest, when we start going into late fall and winter, it's pretty stinking. You're not going to be out there walking with vigor as you are during the summer months like we are today. They find that people walking on a treadmill for 40 minutes at a moderate intensity twice a week, after 6 weeks of doing that, now there was some physical therapy involved too, they had significantly less low back pain and stronger abdominal and back muscles than when they started. And they said it was comparable with a group who had spent that time doing muscle strengthening PT. Now, why does this happen? Well, walking affects your back and your abdominal muscles in much the same way that targeted strengthening exercises do. So staying physically active is very, very important. And what they've also discovered with the back, which I find quite interesting, and it doesn't surprise me, is bacterial infections. They say half the people, as we've become more advanced in being able to detect certain things, have a form of inflammation or bacterial infections. If you have a slipped disc, that's very prominent. In Europe, they found that 46% of people with herniated discs, bacteria had invaded the disc tissue as it healed. And what happened because of this, the swelling occurred with the vertebrae bones. Now, put that picture in your head. The swelling of the bones themselves. Well, bones are alive. They really are. They are living tissue. And most people would not think of that your bones actually can swell. Well, they do. Now, when they tested some antibiotics as a treatment, they found that their patients significantly improved on every measure of pain and disability after about 3 months. Now, they also did a placebo test, and there was no positive results for that at all. And a year later, the patients had improved more. This is something that they are becoming more and more aware of, is that there is an inflammation, sometimes a bacterial infection, that we never would have been able to detect before. So once you get to the root cause, then you're able to say, all right, now what do we do? Posture, of course, when you're walking, when your shoulders are back, your head's up, not shoulders forward, you don't slouch like you're 150 years old and put your head down. Your head's up, shoulders back, and when you're walking and your arms should move freely. That's why those abdominal muscles and back muscles will get stronger when you're walking. Well, there's a device for a lot of people who have a bad habit of putting their heads forward and their shoulders forward, that rounded look. Have you ever noticed older people with a hump on their shoulders? Well, that's from poor posture. But I'm seeing it with a lot of young individuals. And you look at their posture, it's terrible. Shoulders are forward, hunched over. And they have almost like a cavity in their chest that's created because of that. And it really does make a difference. Posture is something, by golly, that was drummed into me when I was growing up. Walk with a book on your head. You must keep your head balanced, your shoulders back, chest up, and let your arms swing freely. This is important because it gives that spine alignment. Well, they now have a device that can teach people who have developed a very bad habit of this. By teaching you how to sit and stand, it uses a sensor that's attached to a belt that fits around your lower back. Now, you calibrate the device to your body geometry, and it determines how your spine and your pelvis should align when you're sitting and standing. Now, if you slouch, there's going to be some gentle vibrations from the machine reminding you to straighten up. And it can connect wirelessly to an iPhone or an iPad application, and it'll track how much time you spend sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. Now, it's going to cost you $150. Well, why not just pretend you got a book on the top of your head. Save $150. Walking tall. Walking tall. It's very, very important. And it's amazing how much posture affects your health. It really is significant. So I just thought I'd share some of those breakthroughs because I really believe we have to be proactive with our own wellness. And, of course, this time of the year, oh, this is a wonderful time to go out walking. You have a feast for the eyes with the gardens of people in your neighborhoods. I hope you live in a neighborhood that has some. I mean, we've even got a church in our local neighborhood. They've set up a plot for growing vegetables, all kinds of things. And you can walk by and see all this stuff growing, and they have this communal environment with their congregation and for the food bank. And a lot of the stuff that comes out fresh out of their garden, because it's just growing beautifully this year. We've just had an awesome summer here in the Pacific Northwest. Gorgeous, gorgeous weather. And so everything is just growing abundantly. So get out, walk, move. But remember, your posture does make a difference. Donna Sebo here, and phone line, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, is 888-627-6008. And I wanted to share a story with you about a little boy and a dog. And I know how important animals are, and I know the effects that they have when they're taken in. Let's say, retirement homes, various facilities for the elderly. It has just made such an impact on the elderly. Well, it can have an impact on anybody of any age. And this little boy, his name is Johnny, and he was autistic. Well, these children, many times they want to communicate, and they're just not able to communicate well. Their brains are wired differently. And so it takes a lot of patience and a lot of effort to help the brain rewire itself. Well, in this child's case, it was helped dramatically because of a dog. That's right, a puppy. And its puppy is called Xena. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and then we're going to be right back, and I'll tell you this fabulous story about Xena, the warrior puppy, and a little boy named Johnny. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Animals and children. Well, this little boy, Johnny, you can imagine how his family would feel when being an autistic child, all of a sudden, because he couldn't communicate, he'd start screaming, start kicking. Behavior that we've all witnessed at some time or another on the part of a child, and we just go, don't, my goodness, can't the parent do anything with this kid? Well, in the case of having a child with autism, all you can do is pick yourself up, move that child out of the environment, because their behavior is what it is. Well, Mom was very frustrated. Johnny was 8 years old, and he actually, most of the time, had a pretty bright dispositioning. But all of a sudden, he would just do weird things. Well, those that knew the family understood, and they had a level of tolerance, but strangers wouldn't have much. Linda sometimes would get on the computer, his mom, and just go through Facebook and watch different things on YouTube and whatever may come her way. And there was something that came up on her computer screen, and it was about a little puppy. And in her area, there was this little tiny puppy that had been found, barely conscious, and it was a little terrier. And the person that had the Facebook article up said, we're going to have to put this animal to sleep unless we can find a home. Now, the puppy was so ill, it was deprived of everything, obviously, and the report was being given out almost hourly about what was happening with his puppy. Well, the puppy managed to survive the night after it was found and had a real fighting heart. This could be seen on the videos that were being placed as well as the photos on Facebook. Well, Xena was given the name, Xena the Warrior Puppy. And Linda was watching this, and she said, oh, the x-rays they're showing. How did this little tiny puppy manage? Well, she just was sending positive thoughts and saying prayers for this little puppy. And she couldn't get this dog out of her mind. And she said she would check on Xena all the time. Well, when the dog was well enough, when the baby was well enough to greet fans at an animal rescue fundraiser, she decided she was going to attend it. And she said, oh boy, my son is not going to do well with crowds, but we're going to go. She would take Johnny with her wherever she went. And they watched the puppy. Everybody laughed at the antics of a puppy. They're just very special anyway. And do you know what this dog did? Now, here are all of these people. That puppy was allowed to just run around. That puppy ran over to her son, Johnny, and started immediately giving puppy slurps to her son. Linda just almost panicked. Johnny wouldn't let other people touch him. She thought he was going to go into one of his tantrums. Do you know what? He started laughing. He started hugging the puppy. She said, we're getting this dog. Something has happened between this puppy and my son. It happened instantaneously. They were able to adopt Xena. Everybody was thrilled. They had seen the interaction with a little boy. When they got into their vehicle, Xena jumped right into Johnny's lap. There was an instantaneous bond there. And she said, wow, I've got to let people know about what's happening. So she started posting information about her dog. People were responding to the stories that she was sharing about the interaction between Xena and her autistic son, Johnny. People were thrilled. They really got involved with this. And she would cry because of the love and support that was coming through various people relative to her son and this puppy. Well, you know what? She came out with more and more information about her son's autism. People were supportive. Johnny, where he was having a terrible time in school, started shifting. Do you know that now, whenever Johnny is out and about, Xena's right by his side. Xena's very well trained. And there are Facebook followers of Xena and Johnny in 66 countries. Now, Xena was not a small dog. Xena ended up being a pretty good-sized dog. But they have ended up being a phenomenal team, and Johnny is doing beautifully. His autism is regressing. So this is all very important. It shows, number one, what love can do. But number two, that sometimes some unusual ways of handling conditions or situations can help bring balance and resolution. This mom
didn't have a clue that this puppy she had fallen in love with on a Facebook page would end up transforming her son's life. And the bond of love between this boy and his dog has transformed his life, made his life richer and better, and Zena's in a loving family. She doesn't have any scars from the abusive environment she suffered as a puppy. Love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Always be open for opportunities for change. Always be open for an awareness that there may be a better way of doing something than you could ever have imagined. And always be open for the unique, the unusual, synchronicity, coincidence, whatever you want to call it. Because you never know when the universe is going to drop a gift in your lap wrapped in a ribbon you would never have expected. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are on this beautiful planet of ours. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.